now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Natalie.
Today on the show, a subject that's not always quite that easy to talk about, male rape. Matthew will be speaking to PC Mike Stephen.
And Ivan recently caught up the Gay Classic Car Club.
Plus, it's time to announce our birthday plans. All coming today, right here on Shout Out. I don't know. Hello.
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 Good evening.
How are you? that was a bit of a rush, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Oh, it's been an exciting evening. Having to park somewhere else.
Yes. So, hello to listeners on BCFM, Bradley Soap Radio, Pirate Nation and Glastonbury FM. Have I missed any out?
Don't think so.
No, I didn't.
Well, and BCFM again.
And BCFM.
And Pirate Nation that repeat.
No,
again.
In fact, that's a very good point. We are not repeating today because it's election special tonight.
That's very true.
So if you normally tune in at midnight, you won't hear this. So there's no point me saying it, really, is
No. No, they won't actually listen to you saying that.
No, they won't actually thinking about it. But
they can listen tomorrow on Base Radio.
Base Radio, yes.
And Bradley State Radio.
And at exciting times, I've got lots of birthday announcements for you today.
Oh dear.
This is not
Shout Out's turning five, isn't it, in June?
Oh, right. So we're talking about Natalie's and my birthday.
Oh, no, good Lord, no.
I was getting worried.
No, I know, yeah. You're in bed by seven, aren't you?
Well, 10 past. After the archers, my love.
I can't remember having a birthday.
So mine was back in April. But yeah, it does seem like ages ago. No. Anyway, enough of that. It's Shout Out's birthday, and we are having a huge, great party. Massive great party. We're taking over the Queen's Shilling, and it's on the 4th of June, and we've got tons and tons and tons of giveaways. Lots and lots of free prizes. There's stuff like free meals at the retreat, free rounds of drinks for you and your friends at the palace, and the Shilling's given us some stuff. Chin Chin have even chipped in and given us some stuff, which is brilliant. And we've got Amazon vouchers to give away and all sorts.
And some Pride tickets.
And Pride tickets, yes, which I think I left out the jingle. Thanks for reminding me. Never mind. Sorry. There's more coming in all the time, so I had to make the jingle with what I had.
I think we ought to say thank you to everyone for helping.
Yes, a big thank you. But put the date in your diary, because in order to win, you need to be in the venue while we're broadcasting live. And, of course, it'd be normal time, 7 to 8. But Steph's going to do the party afterwards, going all the way through till midnight, aren't you?
Is she? Yes. Oh, well, yes, she is. Yes,
yes.
Yes, DJ. H&H heavy.
Yeah, we're having Camp Classic stuff, aren't we?
Well, hopefully, yes.
Yeah. What do you mean, hopefully?
Well, that's what you want. That's what you'll get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it'd be fun.
Absolutely.
And the wonderful Lucy Ray is going to come and perform for us as well. Do you remember Lucy Ray?
Yeah.
She does that fantastic RAC song.
Sing it.
No, you wouldn't know. She did it at Breakout, and it was wonderful. It was all about, you know, the fact that the RAC accepted the fact that she had a girlfriend on the cards and all that kind of stuff. Right. It was great.
We've got the station manager's just crept
in. I know, and he's creeping behind me. I don't like it when he does that. You never quite know what's going to happen.
I think he's quite safe, actually.
No, that's my jumper.
Oh, sorry.
Right, while he's doing that, let's get some events off Steph, shall we? So, what have you got for us?
We've had fostering and adoption in Bristol quite a few months ago.
Yeah, and I think we spoke to them, didn't we?
Yeah, they're actually moving around the country, and there's various charities, and this one's organised by Parents and Children Together, PACT.
Right.
It's quite close to Bristol, it's in Oxford, but I think they're having so much success with LGBT couples adopting.
Oh, that's good.
It is. And so that all these charities are actually tied to the councils, the county councils and city councils.
Right.
They give you full information when you get there. You have to book.
Gosh, it really must be popular there.
It starts at 11 in the morning. It's at South Oxford Community Centre in Lake Street in Oxford.
Miles away.
They even got details of children that are available and help you through the process of adoption.
Okay, if you can't get up to Oxford, then what do you do?
There's another one in Brighton. After that, we've had the Bristol one, but you can contact your own. I mean, Bristol City Council are already involved heavily with this.
Yeah, very heavily.
And so you can contact them direct. But this is good because they will help you with not only the adoption, but if you want to foster. Now, fostering is going to be much more difficult process because you have the child temporarily. They're probably difficult children. They've had a bad upbringing. You need to nurture them, give them lots of love.
But it can be very rewarding, though.
That's what I was just going to say, actually. Yeah. But is not the child is not going to be yours.
Fostering is a temporary thing, isn't
exactly,
it?
Whereas
adoptions are kind of permanent. Yeah. But I know it can be very rewarding because Ben Bird, who broadcasts here on BCFM, used to be part of Shout Out. He's fostered before.
Yeah, but these organisations, these charities are saying it's so successful with LGBT couples, giving lots of love to children. They're really giving a good push. So,
that's good.
And it gives them a healthy outlook on life.
Absolutely it would. And they're finding that children being brought up in a loving, caring relationship. Which
you
always a plus.
You listen to some people in the media at the moment.
Exactly. We're not allowed to go there at the moment. Not till after 10 o'clock.
I didn't say it was anything political.
You were about to. We were about to start.
Quick, we need to move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. No, if you are interested, go, because it is really good as well. And it's a very rewarding experience from what I'm told.
I've posted all the details on our website already.
Oh, fair. Why don't you start?
So it's on there. So the website address is packcharity.org, but as I say, all you need to do is go onto the Shout Out website and all the details are there. I got time to do a quickie?
Yes.
There's not very often we get bisexual events.
Oh,
find it very Bifest, Saturday the 9th of May, so again the same time, the same day as the packed one in Oxford.
Oh, cool. That's a couple of days away.
Daytime workshop, and it's for bisexual people.
Fab.
So not only is it you get to meet other bisexual people, but there's also workshops throughout the day and also a party in the evening.
And we like parties. Yeah. No, what kind of workshops? Like?
That's
is it just like a kind of like get together and meet and that kind of thing?
No. There's crafts-based materials and craft workshops, buying community information area. Now, this is not just for Wales, even though he's in Swansea. This is covering the whole of the UK.
Yeah, I thought that
they often are, but
a lot of people from Bristol do go there. Actually.
Well, Swansea. It's not that far down the M4.
No.
There's refreshments, a raffle. There's the history of bisexuality. Also, there's a chat on LGBT hate crime. Ethical non-monogamy. Introduction to non-monogamous relationships. And also, if you're transgender, Roxy Williams is going to be there from Transgender in Wales. And also some funny games. And as I say, later on in the evening, it turns into a party.
That's always
the best bit.
So that's at the Theatre First Floor, Swansea, at the YWCA, the Kingsway. Again, I've put all the details already on the website for both of these events. They both happen on Saturday.
You don't have
to book for the Bifest, but you do have to book for the pact.
The adoption, fostering, rather.
So, as I say, email addresses and phone numbers all on the website.
Cool, you star. Thank you very much, Steph.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David Bedella, and I play Roger Debris in The Producers, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
What? 5 years? Are you sure?
5 years? I can't believe it's 5 years.
Seriously, five? Come on.
Gorgeous. Fabulous. 5 years.
This June is Shoutout's 5th birthday, and what better way to celebrate than with a great big party?
Join the team for all the fun and games, broadcasting live from the Queen's Shilling on Thursday the 4th of June.
With a live performance from Lucy Ray, plus a whole evening of camp classics courtesy of Handbags and High Heels.
Plus, Miss Beaver will be pulling your names out of her bag to give away a shedload of prizes.
Thanks to our sponsors, you could win
one of three-course meals for two people any Sunday, courtesy of The Retreat.
A free drink for you and four mates, courtesy of The Palace.
Free entry for you and four friends, plus a bottle of bubbly for you all to share, courtesy of The Queen's Shilling.
Free afternoon tea for two, courtesy of Chin Chin.
One of five £5 Amazon vouchers, courtesy of us here at Shoutout.
All you have to do to be in with a chance to win is to come join us at the Queen Shilling for the live broadcast between 7 and 8.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and entry costs just £2.
All money raised on the door is being kindly donated back to Shoutout to help us broadcast live from this year's Pride.
So come join Shoutout for our biggest ever birthday bash. For more details, go to shoutoutradio.org.uk/5.
Terms and conditions apply. Please see the website for full details.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Good old party song, that one. The Loca people. Yes, that is the radio version of it.
Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah, well spotted. It is actually quite rude, the original Ibiza version.
Oh, makes me think of beaches and cocktails, and it'd be like our birthday party.
It will, yeah. Well, I don't think Paul will let us have a beach in the Queen Shilling, but
I'll go out and order some sand.
Yeah, get some stuck on paper. It's easier to move.
But some fab prizes,
Street.
Aren't there?
Yes.
And what isn't in that jingle? We've also got two tickets for Pride as well, Bristol Pride. So, but it's really cool as well, because the Shilling's even donating the door money back to us so that we can pay for the transmitter to broadcast Pride.
Oh, these things don't come cheap. That's fantastic. No. Really kind.
Which is really, really cool. So,
yeah.
Anyway, news time.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 7th of May.
My Health magazine is a free publication about health and medicines and is available for free at chemists and surgeries across the UK. In the current issue, the cover star is gay raconteur and thespian Stephen Fry, noted for his work in breaking down prejudice about both homosexuality and mental health issues. He speaks frankly about same-sex marriage and his battles with bipolar disorder. Grab your copy for a whole heap of interesting reading and to see what else Fry has to say.
The only venue in Gloucestershire dedicated to the gay community is set to reopen this weekend following an overhaul. From Saturday, the venue will be known as the Westgate Bar and Lounge, with 22-year-old Jack Harrison at the helm. Jack, who is reopening the venue with the help of familiar Westgate faces Sid Kostromin and Mark Hell, said, "This was the first pub I went to in Gloucester and I made it my regular, so this is more than a business to me, it's personal."
The Irish community newspaper The Irish World reports this week that the betting agency Paddy Power is offering odds on that the Irish Republic's marriage referendum on the 22nd of May will result in a yes vote for equality. In addition, the agency is curting its customary controversy by adopting the Irish Republican Movement slogan, "Our Day Will Come," together with a billboard poster depicting two men in balaclavas in an embrace. The inference is that these men could have been members of one of the Republican armed groups during the Troubles. It's hard to miss, and has caused some debate in the Irish media. News website Joe.ie pointed out that Paddy Power was using an IRA-inspired image to grab attention.
Graham Norton hosted a very gay edition of his BBC Radio 2 programme at the weekend, available to listen now at the BBC iPlayer. He interviewed Eurovision winner Conchita Wurst and out British pop star Will Young, playing several tracks from Will's new album.
Tickets have gone on sale for campaign group Stonewall's Cruise Down the River Thames on Thursday the 18th of June. The fundraiser runs from 7:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. and includes food and drink. Tickets start at £85, and for more information, pop along to the Stonewall website. It's an evening not to be missed.
And finally, we are sorry to hear of the court case that has been launched against, well, you, dear listener. A woman in Nebraska has filed a court case against all gay and trans people on Earth. In a submission to the court, which is described by Gay Star News as full of spelling mistakes and grammatical errors, the woman says that she is suing every gay person in the world and wants the court to rule on the biblical pronouncements on sexuality. Now, Pink News says that the plaintiff, Sylvia Driscoll, is a religious literalist. Exactly what will happen to a court case is not clear. Many legal experts expect it to be laughed out of court. Others point out that it could spectacularly backfire, in that Miss Driscoll has apparently cited God and Jesus of Nazareth as witnesses. Given that both are likely not to turn up in person, they could be found in contempt of court. Contempt was also what many in the gay blogosphere were dishing out to this case during the course of the week.
for these news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Matthew Tosh.
I knew you wouldn't do that without laughing.
Shoutout News.
Is she really serious?
Apparently so. It's been on all the gay news wires.
It's the witnesses thing that tickles me.
God.
We could always lend her a witness, Steve Satan.
He might be able to testify in our defence.
For those that aren't tuned into BCFM, he's one of the guys that broadcasts here at BCFM.
He is a very respected rock DJ. Yes, yeah. Good old
interesting.
Steve
Satan. Anyway, stay with us. We're going to get slightly more serious in a little bit. But do stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Sorry, there we go.
Cheerleader. Like that one. It's kind of like... it's a summary song, isn't it? I think you could best describe it.
I thought you were describing me as a cheerleader.
No. You could be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess. Go Shout Out.
We could do that at Pride.
We get you some pom-poms.
I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook. There's a lovely photo that the Pride guys are using. I'm assuming it's Darren that's using it. That is of Paul Stoodley's little dog. I think it's Paul Stoodley's little dog with a flag in its mouth, the rainbow flag.
Oh.
And it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. And it keeps popping up on my Facebook. It's really sweet. So.
The other thing I've seen going around online is the Google Earth photos of Queen Square and Castle Park were taken on the day of Pride. Because you can see all the banners out and the marquees.
The one 2 years ago, I think
it
we worked
was, yeah,
it out,
because
didn't we?
Because I actually spotted it and sort of passed it on, and Darren sort of tweeted it.
Yeah, it's still up there. You can go and you can see the flags, which is brilliant. So I'm really looking forward to this year's one. This should be good fun.
Yeah.
So the film festival that kicked off the other week was amazing. Really, really good. If you missed it, go to the next one because they're really cool. So. Anyway, we're going to change the subject completely now, and I'm going to talk to Matthew because this was your piece. You met
PC Mike
the
Steven.
Wonderful PC Mike Steven. So it's great as well because the police force here are really supportive. We've had them on before, and we spoke to them about all kinds of different things. So, but this one's quite an interesting subject, and quite a difficult one usually to talk about.
It is a subject that causes a lot of people to hesitate, and I hold my hand up because I hesitate sometimes. But it's male rape, and it's a hidden problem. Very few men feel able to confront the topic, yet alone even report it, and that's the issue. So I went along to talk to PC Mike Steven of Avon and Somerset Police to talk about the campaign, and the campaign is to raise awareness and support for victims.
Mike, thanks very much for talking to Shout Out. How widespread is the issue of male rape?
That is incredibly difficult to answer in a specific manner, because there is no defined research into this topic in the UK. The US are further ahead than we are and do have a lot more basis onto to which to map their services for males. Certainly last year the Ministry of Justice did put aside some money, which was $500,000 over 2 years, to fund services for male victims specifically. One such centre in the Bristol area is the Greenhouse Project, which were successful in obtaining some funding to provide male-specific services. And just to give you an idea, the survey that was conducted suggested that around 75,000 men in the UK are victims of sexual assault or attempted assault every year, and yet only 700 people come forward to their local constabulary to report those incidents.
That's an extraordinary figure.
It is. And again, I think that goes back to when I was quoting the Ministry of Justice figures earlier, which came from the British Crime Survey. And I think those statistics, again, are very much down to the fact that in general, males believe that they're not going to be believed, that the very fact that something like rape or a sexual assault has occurred against them in some way removes some of their masculinity. There's lots of perceptions which are the blockers, and I should say perceptions and myths around why males in general do not speak to the police or engage with other services.
Why do we, as men, find this topic particularly difficult to talk about? I was only talking to a friend this morning saying I was going to be doing this interview, and I even hesitated when I used the term male rape.
Yeah, again, I think that's because as males, we're not naturally overt with our feelings and our emotions and to enable us to discuss something as taboo as this. There is no platform in the public domain at the moment where this subject is receiving any kind of attention. And therefore, men themselves don't even view themselves as potential victims. The victim is often left with feelings of, you know, does this now make me gay? I became aroused during the incident, which, by the way, for a male is a physiological experience. It's no indicator that you enjoyed the experience or anything of that nature. And it's very important for men to understand that by coming to the police, whilst we accept it does take a lot of confidence and belief in the police, that we are going to respect you as an individual and believe the account you're giving us. Just because you're a man doesn't mean that you cannot be a victim.
So what is the campaign that you've got?
This campaign is built around and has the main aim of increasing reporting from male victims of rape and sexual assault. This very much is an ongoing campaign for me. As we move into the summer months now, it will very much focus on the LGBT community. We're going to be doing some visits to the LGBT venues throughout June, leading up to Pride in July, where we'll be there with our usual community stand. But this year, I'll be there with a colleague pushing this message in order to really put a face to the brand.
Now, obviously, you mentioned that you're starting with the LGBT community, but one is aware that male rape doesn't just affect people in the LGBT community. So will this be rolled out further to heterosexual males?
Yeah, absolutely. This is not in any way confined to the LGBT community. Later in the year, the focus will shift more so to heterosexual males and will be utilising things like Freshers Week and the new intakes coming into universities and college campuses, where the campaign will take a slightly different viewpoint and raising awareness that actually these offences do occur within university and college campuses.
So how can a man go about reporting male sexual abuse?
So for us, if that's coming directly to the police, then obviously you can call us on 101, where initially you'll be spoken to by a call handler. If you don't feel comfortable giving all of the information over the phone in that first instance, you don't have to. You can just give some basic details, i.e. your name, contact number, and then you can request a specifically trained officer to give you a call back. Or we can obviously arrange to come and meet you if you feel more comfortable with that. Likewise, if you felt that you didn't want to report it to the police immediately, we do have services in Bristol that you could go to alternatively, this being The Bridge, which is in Bristol itself, and is a sexual assault referral centre. There, they can offer you guidance and counselling and can retrieve anything of any evidential value, and that remains confidential to you and The Bridge. They will not pass that information through to the police until such time as you are ready. There's also the other service mentioned earlier, which is the Greenhouse Project, funded by the Ministry of Justice. Again, there you can receive counselling and or guidance prior to coming to the police.
The fact that you're having to run a campaign like this, in your view, have we as a society and maybe government and other agencies, have we overlooked this problem?
Absolutely. And I think to a degree, the police have a part to play in that. And about bringing it to the forefront. And that is what Avon and Somerset are trying to do during 2015 and 16. As the lead on this particular subject matter, I'm extremely passionate about what I'm doing and about getting the message out there and breaking down these barriers and myths that people hold, not only about what's going to happen when they come forward to the police, but about how that individual is potentially perceived by society. It's quite easy for me to say as a police officer and not somebody who is a victim of rape or sexual assault, that you will be treated with the absolute utmost respect when you come and speak to the police. It does not matter whether you are male or female, gay or straight. It does not matter. For anybody that has fallen into difficulty following use of, say, a dating app, it does not matter that that was how the incident started. What we are interested in is where and when, by who.
I guess it's about treating people as human beings.
It is, absolutely. And at the moment, on my Twitter, which I'm trying to push the messages out there, very much at the minute, I've got a new hashtag, which is basically listen, believe and respect. And those are the three things that we will do at Avon and Somerset Constabulary, is when people do come in, we will listen to what you have got to say. We will believe your account, and utmost, we will respect you as an individual.
And finally, Mike, someone who's listening to this and who may have experienced male rape or sexual abuse, what would you say to them?
I would say, we know how you're feeling. I would just like to reassure listeners that we do understand. We are currently doing a lot of work around this topic. We are learning as we go. As I said earlier, this is a very underrepresented area. And as I said earlier, policing in itself has not publicised this enough. But that is changing. Our services are in place within Avon and Somerset Constabulary, not specifically for males. Obviously, we can't do that. But I would like to encourage anybody at all who has suffered a rape or an act of sexual violence to do step forward, come and talk to us, and we will decide with you how best to progress. If it's still a confidence issue in that you don't want to report it to the police, perhaps you know the individual who has done this to you, I would strongly urge you to seek advice and counselling. We do have a service in Bristol, the Greenhouse Project, currently funded by the Ministry of Justice, and they will be able to help and advise you and maybe engage you in a counselling programme to help you through your recovery.
So where can people go to find out more information about this campaign?
If the listeners go to www.avonandsomerset.police.uk and search male rape, they will find a information page along with videos and text explaining what will happen when they report something to the police, and guidance and reassurance about where they can go if they don't wish to speak to the police.
PC Mike Stevens, thank you very much for talking to us at Shoutout.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
That was Matthew Tosh there speaking with PC Mike Stephen of Avon and Somerset Police. Now, a few links were mentioned there, just so that you're aware. They are all up on our website at shoutoutradio.org.uk. They'll go up there along with the podcast later on this evening. Alternatively, if you do wish to speak to someone in confidence about any of the issues raised, then you can contact the National Sexual Violence Helpline on 0808 802-9999. Lines are open daily from midday until 2:30 p.m. and then again from 7 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Calls from UK landlines are free and will not show up on your phone bill as well, it's worth pointing out. The number again, 0808 802 9999. And latest news that we just had in as well is that on the 20th of May, listeners will get the chance to actually put their questions to the Avon Somerset Police during a live Twitter chat around the subject of male rape and sexual offences. But as it was pointed out there, if you are the victim, do contact the police because they are there to help. So a big thank you to Avon and Somerset Police and also to PC Mike Stephen for doing that interview. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Blonde and All Cried Out. Again, another summary one. It's
Really, you get very summary, Andy.
I think it's because I've been editing jingles and adverts for the birthday party. I've kind of gone a bit into party mode. So, can we say hello to Ivan as well? By the way, he's miles away.
Where is he
at the moment? In China, I think, somewhere like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So hello. I know he's listening because he's making my phone beep in my pocket at the moment. So now, speaking of Ivan, actually, he's been off and had a little chat with the guys at the Gay Classic Car Club.
What's a classic gay car?
Well, I don't know. Shall we find out?
Yeah.
Hello, Darren.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome to Shout Out.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in my Wolseley 6.
Well, I was going to say, tell me about this car. What are we sitting in?
It's a Wolseley 6, 1972, so slightly younger than me. Made in Coventry, designed by Ali Kisigonis, who designed the very famous Morris Minor and the Mini. It was reputedly his favourite car, and as you can see, it's absolutely enormous inside, even though it's actually quite small outside.
It's gorgeous. This is just like would have been an everyday car in 1972.
Yeah, most certainly would. As you can see, there's a tow bar on the back of it, which I didn't add, and I presume someone used to tow a caravan in it, which would have been quite scary, I think, really.
Amazing. But,
roomy car, it goes...
Loads of leg room.
Keeps up with modern traffic, you know, do 75, 80, slow down if you need to.
Oh, really? Amazing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What makes a classic car? Is it age or rarity or what?
The age-old question, it's sort of, you know, never-ending debate, that one. Insurance companies officially say that it's over 25 years. The government actually have a status that it's historic class if it's over 40 years old. But if you speak to some people, you know, you could argue that if you bought a Ferrari, you could say that's an instant classic, you know, even if it was brand new.
Even though it's still being manufactured?
Yeah, yeah. There's always debates and arguments, and it's... But this definitely fits into the classic category in every definition, so...
Well, it's certainly a beautiful car.
Yeah.
Can you give me a brief history of how the Gay Classic Car Group started?
Back in 1988, when the world was a very different day, I think it was about 10 friends in London met up and decided to do a little run from London to Brighton. And it sort of blossomed from there. So during the 1990s, it didn't really grow that much, 100 people or so.
So was it a little bit closeted in the 80s? Is that the reason for it?
Yeah, definitely in the 80s and 90s. I mean, certainly the magazine was delivered in a, you know, brown paper bag, and triple sort of sealed and all the rest of it. And people were very nervous of being outed. But now we're in the age of sort of social media with your Facebooks and your Twitters and everything. And even the run-of-the-mill classic magazines, you know, the sort of the Practical Classics and the Classic Car Weekly and all those, they can't get enough of sort of stories about us.
So how many members have you got?
Well, we've now ballooned to 1,000. We've actually had 10% growth for the last 10 years. We go abroad for meetings and meet up with similar clubs in the Netherlands and in Germany, and we have ties even with Australia and America. Great mix of ages of people, ages of cars, class of people.
Well, talking about the mix, is the club open to everyone?
Yes it is, and quite surprisingly, I mean, we've never been able to distinguish, because people come up and say, oh, you're the Gay Classic Car Group, how are you going to prove that I'm gay? And we said, well we can't, you know, anyone can join, and sure enough, anyone can join. And at the AGM this year, we actually had a woman and a man stand up and say, well, we're actually straight and we love the club so much because it's so friendly and run such good events. I hope you don't mind us being here. And I said, well, of course not. You know, we can't distinguish at all.
You know, owning a classic car obviously can be an expensive business, but do you actually have to own one to be a member?
No, you are right about a classic car can be an expensive business in terms of buying these days because of the big bubble in the classic car market and maintaining. But no, you don't have to own a classic car as a member. And in fact, it's probably a good thing that if you don't own one, because when we do go on runs and rallies, you get to swap and go in whichever car you want. You know, you can go in four or five different cars in one day. In fact, last weekend when we went out, I actually drove a couple of members' cars, which was fantastic. And then the big show this year that's coming up, we've got a big national show. First time we've done it, oddly enough. We're having a big national show in Wisley, which is just near the M25, towards the end of August, and we're hoping to get 100 or 150 cars along to that, and actually turn it into a sort of a village fete type thing with sort of, you know, cake competition.
And that's nearly gay owners and drivers,
etc. Yeah, that's just going to be just our club, yeah. We have tacked on to other village fetes and other village clubs and slightly larger shows, and we've been very well received. So I thought, actually, no, why don't we just have our own, with our own members and our own jumble sale and our own little competitions and all the rest of it.
So. Now, out of your 1,000 or so members, 5% are Rolls-Royce owners, according to your website.
Yes, the statistics vary depending on the economic circumstances of the country, I suspect, but yeah, Rolls-Royces are reasonably popular in Bentleys. Citroëns, surprisingly. You'd be quite surprised about that. But then again, I suppose if you think about the old 2CV, most people remember that, you know, fun little car, and there's a lot of interest in those.
Is there any kind of, like, snobbery between members over which cars they are, and or is it all very friendly? And is, you know, if you had an Austin Allegro, always... would you be like sneered at or something like that? I mean, or does that not happen?
I can't tell a lie, and some people would do that. I mean, there's in every single club, if you've got 1,000 people, you're always going to end up with someone who thinks his car is better than someone else's. But on the other hand, there was a Wartburg, which you've probably never heard of.
No, I have heard of a Wartburg.
Yeah, Eastern German make that came over, three-cylinder, two-stroke, you know, pouring smoke out, quite rusty and battered. And everyone at this event I was at was around that car because they're like, wow, something different. So you can't always tell. I mean, yes, the Rolls Royces and the Bentleys are always very well turned out. And
you know, but sometimes you get some interesting...
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about whether anybody owned any unusual or rare vehicles at all.
Very, very, very unusual vehicles. Yeah, there's a big push at the moment for Eastern European cars because they suddenly realise that they're disappearing. So your Trabants and your sort of FSOs and your sort of Skodas from the communist era, they seem to be becoming very popular with certain members in the club.
And what are the benefits of actually joining the club then?
Well, the benefits are that we go on all sorts of fun events. I mean, I go to places that if I was just on my own and wasn't a member of the club, I'd never consider going to. So, you know, National Trust properties, sort of chocolate factories, wine tasting, all these bizarre things that we do that if you were on your own, you sort of think, no, I won't go to that. But you're knowing that you've got 40, 50 people that you get to know quite well. And certainly the international side of it, when we travel to France every Easter and there's 150 people go there, you can imagine 150 people over a whole weekend is great fun.
And with their cars, of course.
Yes, and with their cars, yeah, most of them taking all sorts of their cars.
And, of course, you publish a quarterly magazine as well.
Yeah, that's gone from strength to strength. Yeah. And it's
very
full, professional, glossy.
Cool.
Big End.
Big
yes.
End.
Yeah, it's a slight pun on, because that is a part of an engine.
It's, yeah, I, so yeah. I gather. I know nothing about engines. I'm learning more and more as I talk to you. So, yes, if you subscribe to the Gay Classic Car group, you will get your glossy copy of Big End on a quarterly basis.
It is, and it's very glossy, and there's all sorts of stories in there. Not only the events that we've done, and people like to read about those if they didn't manage to get on them, but there's all sorts of interesting histories of cars, book reviews, people's restoration projects, so it's a full.
And there's discounts as well from insurance companies if you want to insure your car.
Yeah.
So how much does membership cost?
It's about £19 a year. It depends on how you pay. I mean, there is a subtle difference between direct debit and PayPal.
But that's including your spouse or partner as well, though, isn't it? So
yes,
you're actually getting two for the price of one.
Yeah, and we do have a few people that have two partners, so yes, we're very
modern
club.
Very modern
yes,
club,
yes,
indeed.
Yes, their other thirds join. Yes,
right, yeah. Okay. Now, you've mentioned the event up in Wisley coming up in the summer, which sounds like great fun. If anybody wants to find out more about the club, can you tell us about the website or Facebook page perhaps?
Yeah, sure. There is a Facebook forum. That's an unofficial Facebook forum. There's general chit-chat on there.
So what would they have to look up on Facebook for that?
It's just the Gay Classic Car Group on
right.
Facebook. But the actual official website where you can join and find out more about the membership and the more official side of the club, including the events once you have joined, is www.gccg.org.uk. And we are actually in the throes of updating that website.
I've had a good look at that. That looks fantastic. Thanks for that information, Darren. Well, I've got my rolled-up copy of Big End here. You've got your goggles on.
Yeah.
I've got my headscarf. Shall we go for a spin?
Yeah, excellent idea.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
This is Ivan Jackson, cruising for Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
What? 5 years? Are you sure?
5 years? I can't believe it's 5 years.
Seriously, five? Come on.
Gorgeous. Fabulous. 5 years.
This June is Shout Out's 5th birthday, and what better way to celebrate than with a great big party?
Join the team for all the fun and games, broadcasting live from the Queen's Shilling on Thursday the 4th of June.
With a live performance from Lucy Ray, plus a whole evening of camp classics courtesy of Handbags and High Heels.
Plus, Miss Beaver will be pulling your names out of her bag to give away a shed load of prizes.
Thanks to our sponsors, you could win
one of three-course meals for two people any Sunday, courtesy of The Retreat.
A free drink for you and four mates, courtesy of The Palace.
Free entry for you and four friends, plus a bottle of bubbly for you all to share, courtesy of The Queen's Shilling.
Free afternoon tea for two, courtesy of Chin Chin.
One of five £5 Amazon vouchers, courtesy of us here at Shout Out.
All you have to do to be in with a chance to win is to come join us at the Queen Shilling for the live broadcast between 7 and 8.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and entry costs just £2.
All money raised on the door is being kindly donated back to Shoutout to help us broadcast live from this year's Pride.
So come join Shoutout for our biggest ever birthday bash. For more details, go to shoutoutradio.org.uk/5.
Terms and conditions apply. Please see the website for full details.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Bright light, bright light, and a good luck. That's not out yet. So that's the exclusive play, I believe.
It is, because you got there first.
I know, yeah, we beat H&H to it, didn't we? Yeah.
You did. I'm not playing it till Saturday.
Yeah, no, I've managed to speak to Rod Thomas. Unfortunately, they're away at the moment. They're over gigging until August. But we're going to catch up with them in August, hopefully, get them on the show, which would be great.
Cool.
And that's a remix. They've done it with someone. I was trying to look. I know it's on the actual track itself, but I can't see it on the screen. It's dropped off the edge. But it's a special remix that they've done. With someone. It's really good. I really like it, don't you?
Yeah, that could well be the power play on Saturday.
Yeah. So, but I first ever discovered Bright Light at Pride a few years back.
Oh.
And they've done a couple of prides, actually. I don't think they've been at the last two, but
no.
They quite often do. But yes, they're their new single out soon, and soon to be H&H's power play.
Maybe.
You'll have to listen on Saturday to find out.
Yeah, between 5 and 7. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, H&H is Handbags and High Heels, which is Steph's show that she does here on BCFM. Now on a Saturday, isn't it?
Saturday's on Pirate Nation.
Oh, Pirate Nation, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Pirate Nation Radio.
Right. PirateNationRadio.com.
I thought you were doing it on BCFM as well.
That's on Mondays. That's at on Monday. 10 till midday.
Ooh, two
Monday
shows.
Mornings.
Hey.
Good to listen to when you're just starting the working week. Gets you off to a good kickstart.
Well, Kerry, what time do you start your working week?
On a bank holiday.
On a Monday morning.
And I did like that Ivan with his big end. That was just hilarious. It's the name of the magazine before anyone thinks anything else if you were listening outside the studio.
And I will say, for, you know, the classic car club, you know, if you're whizzing off to the south of France in a nice sports car and you want to take someone with you.
Are you using our radio show to pimp yourself again?
Yes.
We are going to resort to turning your microphone off if you do this every show. You do realise that, don't you?
It's the swing of the red excuse. Handbag, isn't it?
Have you noticed every week I broadcast with Steph, any excuse, and she's like, oh, you got a Porsche, I'll come. And when we had Rick Kopp on, she wanted to go and be in the film and get killed off. As,
you know. Don't you bring me into it. That's Natalie who's got the red bag, who she's swinging on the street corners. She's giving me a bad rep.
Anyway, rather than talking about Natalie, I want to talk about us, and more precisely, our birthday party.
Woo!
4th of June. Stick it in your diaries now. 4th of June, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great fun. On top of all the stuff you heard in the jingle, there's also 2-day passes for Pride as well. There might be a few more come in the mix, as well as some extra guests as well. Miss Beaver's going to come down and pull all the names out of her bag.
Really?
Oh, lovely.
And she's going to do it live on air, which is why you need to be there for the live broadcast to win the prizes, because we're actually going to give them away live on air. So
that's going to be a sight. Did you say she's pulling them out of her box?
She's pulling them out of her bag.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, I didn't say box. That was you with your dirty mind.
Excuse me?
I don't know what you're talking about. 5 years. I can't believe it's 5
no,
years.
No, I can't
half
either.
A decade has gone
mad,
by.
Isn't it? I've lost my hair in the process. It's
really? Is that what happened?
Me too.
Yes, it's you lot.
There was some stories going around in rumours, but...
No, why was someone put super glue on the headphones?
Oh. So if you remember listening to the very first show,
do you
come along to the party, yes.
Well, I've still got the very first show somewhere, actually. We ought to get some clips from it.
It
sounds so different.
Half past one
on a Monday we started.
On a Monday lunchtime.
We just had a half-hour show.
Yeah,
and we did that. We were supposed to do that for a couple of months trial, and after about 3 weeks we were so successful we moved to our slot that we now have on a Thursday, and we haven't moved since. So, but yeah, though, I should point out the party doesn't end at 8. We're going to carry on broadcasting on Pirate Nation Radio all the way through till midnight. Steph's going to take take over after the live broadcast, and we're going to have Camp Classics with handbags and high heels and the like. And there's a big party. There's going to be food and bubbly and all sorts there. So it's well worth coming along. And the nice thing is the shilling. Very kindly said that your £2 entry, they're going to give back to us to go into our transmitter fund so that we can broadcast Pride live this year.
Excellent.
Oh, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Well done.
So, and a big thank you to all the other sponsors as well, because there's loads of wonderful prizes in there, which they've all donated completely free. So I thought it was really, really sweet of them. So.
But if you can't make it, we will be live on Pirate Nation all night.
And BCFM for at least the hour of the broadcast. Yep. Anyway, that is it. For all the birthday information, it's ever so easy. Go to shoutoutradio.org.uk/5.
Please put the date in your diary, Thursday the 5th of June, because you need to be there for the live broadcast to win all the prizes.
Next week, we're going to be looking at youth equality along with Eurovision. That'll be fun, won't it? Eurovision, it's always good. So, anyway, from myself and the team, we hope you voted. If you haven't, go vote. We will catch you next week. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.